Good afternoon out there. It's Thursday, it's 2:34 p.m. And you hear that tune? That means it's time to head into the garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski joining us by phone here momentarily from Juneau. And before we dive in, we want to say thanks to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program. They're located at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Open every day but Wednesday, 10 to 4, with veggie and herb starts, hanging bags and baskets, bedding plants, trees, shrubs, and more. Welcoming visitors at their flower farm and offering delivery. They're 772-3464 for their phone number.
Well, you can go out to eat. That's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown.
Pulling up Master Gardener on the phone here, and speaking of phones, we want to let folks know that if they want to, they can call in during this program and put a question or put a question to Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, who is with us now by phone. Hello there, Ed. Do we have you?
I'm here, Oren.
All right. Welcome to the airwaves here on In the Garden, and I hope your day's going good up there. What's going on in your garden?
Oh, things are growing and sprouting, and gradually, though I'm having, I don't know what's going with my, I'm having a hard time with peas not wanting to sprout, or maybe I've got little birds plucking them out because I find the odd one. So, well, I've got to keep working on that. Maybe some deterrence will be necessary. But a couple of folks have been asking about fertilizing and or additional fertilizing. And particularly this morning, it was one fellow asking about his garlic. And but there's a lot of different, all the different plants, whether it be annuals, hanging baskets, perennials, trees, shrubs, all of that. Thought we'd kind of talk a little bit about fertilizing, what might need to be, what may not need to be, and kind of the signs to look for when we're fertilizing or giving them some supplements.
Perfect. Yes, absolutely. It's that time of season, really. Hopefully things are planted or starting, and it's been raining a little bit too, so a little bit more leaching of nutrients has been going on here. So yeah, let's talk about amending and boosting and fertilizing.
So certainly we've talked about starting out what we can add to the soil, whether we're adding compost and organic fertilizers to begin before we plant seeds or before we may transplant. But then what do we do after? Once stuff is, we hope, growing and up and thriving, one of them, I guess, we look at some of the long-term stuff, trees and shrubs at least, should be fertilized, the exotic trees and shrubs, that is. Probably not your spruce trees, hemlocks, alders, cottonwoods. They kind of generally don't need much fertilizer. They thrive just fine on their own with what Mother Nature provides them. But everything else in the garden is exotic. Of course, that includes even the dandelions and the buttercups, but we don't want to fertilize those either because they do fine on their own. So when we're looking at our plants, after we've got them planted, what do they need? So with trees and shrubs, at least, there's various choices. It can be as simple as, well, simple for some maybe, if you make lots of compost. You can give them a ring of compost around the drip line, depending on the size. Say for a shrub, that might be, say a rhododendron, that's maybe 3 feet across. So some compost, there, you kind of want to be a little careful about your compost that goes in there. You don't want to have lime and wood ashes, crushed eggshells and that sort of thing, or the rhododendrons, just because they tend to like the more acid soils. And this would kind of apply carefully to potatoes, strawberries, raspberries, also in the garden, that you want to go light on the fertilizing anyway, but also light on anything that might sweeten the soil. Now, the opposite is true about peonies and lilacs, and actually many of the other garden vegetables, from peas, cabbages, broccoli, carrots, beets. Those do like some sweeter soil. So again, we've mixed in some compost, But we can come back and do what's called side dressing for those. We talk about compost around trees and shrubs. We can add a little compost around our plants that are existing. And if we've got rows of plants, we can add some stuff in between and just gently scratch it in the rows. For potatoes, as you're hilling your potatoes, you can add a little more seaweed or a little more of the special compost for those. As you're hilling around them, you know, you put a little compost in and then a little bit of soil on top of that, and then wait till they grow another 4 or 5 inches or so. So that's a good way to go for those. Again, another choice for the trees and shrubs can be the tree spikes, which are fertilizer that's essentially hardened in the shape of a, oh, kind of looks more like a peg than a spike to me, but something about 3 to 4 inches long. It's a hard, maybe an inch in diameter, that you actually pound into, push into, or pound into the soil out again near the drip line for the trees and shrubs. And there's usually a different variety between that for evergreens versus those for leafy trees. So again, looking at the package is important.
I guess that's a good reminder, ultimately, is just kind of follow directions if you have them available for your fertilizers.
That really is good, yeah. So, and the packages, depending on whatever sort of stuff you get, and then that applies to lime or fertilizing and other stuff, that look at the package, it'll tell you either so much per 100 square feet or per 1,000 square feet if you're broadcasting it across the garden or across the lawn. Or it may tell you so much fertilizer per 10 row feet. So like if you're digging a trench to plant some seedlings or potatoes even, you might put, it might say 1 or 2 cups, or it might say 1/2 pound or 1 pound of this for 10 or 20 feet of row to mix in. But then again, and we may use some additional fertilizing after that initial first springtime fertilizer, after the ground is thawed out, the plants are waking up, the roots are starting to become more active and pulling in nutrients from the surroundings, is that some plants may need some more during the growing season. And this applies kind of more for the annuals, and most of our garden vegetables, of course, are annuals. We plant them in the spring and we harvest them in the summer and fall. And so if they didn't get enough, or like you say, if we've had a lot of rain, then some of that initial fertilizer may have been washed out of reach of the roots. For another one is garlic, which we planted last fall. And so now, if you look at it, and this is what one of the fellows today said when he was here this morning, was, well, I've heard that you may need to do some additional fertilizing. You might want to do some spray on liquid fertilizer on the leaves, or water in some fertilizer around the roots. And again, if you look at the plants, now other years when I've looked at them, by now I will actually see some yellowing tips on the garlic leaves. And so that is somewhat of an indication that, yeah, I probably do need to give them a little supplemental food, a little additional nitrogen. And again, that may be using something like the fish emulsion, the Alaska fish food, that liquid stuff. You can mix it up. And we've talked about dilution. Again, usually the container should say how much, like so many, that's 1 tablespoon per gallon of water, or a quart in a 5 gallon of water, whatever it happens to be. But again, we're fertilizing the leaves when we're doing a foliar feeding. We were doing it a lighter dosage, just half strength is worthwhile. So you're going to spray it on the leaves as much as you can, and even spraying the underside of the leaves if you've got the kind of a sprayer you can do that with, because that's kind of where more of the nutrients can be absorbed by the plant. And then, of course, whatever else misses the leaves go onto the soil, and then that gets watered, washed, rained into the soil so the roots can take it up. So it isn't really wasted if you don't get it on the leaf.
Gotcha. So when we're talking about dilutions and also sort of acidity versus baseness, for something like a compost tea made from seaweed or weed juice or something like that. How do you, is there a rule of thumb for determining dilution or acidity? Do you need to test it? How do you operate that?
I don't normally test it. Certainly if you're buying, if you're buying a liquid, it should give you directions or for dilution. Or if you're buying a powder which is to be dissolved, like Miracle-Gro, for example, that's how much to use. If you're making your own, like I do, brewing your own tea, and again, you're better to err on the side of lighter dilution so that you don't burn the plant. So you fermented your weeds and you threw some seaweed in there to add a little extra goodness to it. So say it's been working for 2 weeks. It's probably time. I mean, it's pretty much stuff is broken down in there and it's probably quite fragrant that maybe your loved ones are telling you, do something with a damn bucket of stinky stuff or else.
Right.
Whatever. So then, yes, I do dilute it. So I'll pour off the liquid, and usually I'll do about a 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 dilution. So a gallon of my stinky liquid and 4 or 5 gallons of water, and then that will be used to water plants, maybe as a supplemental. It may be used when you're transplanting, and hopefully for us at least, we're harvesting our lettuce now, so there's going to be some more that's going to go in. Something else will go in there. So watering that stuff in is good. And again, for these plants that are showing some signs of yellowing is one indication that probably a little bit of extra nitrogen is needed. However, if you're looking at tomatoes are a good example, that if you look at it, your tomato plants and you see them looking kind of purplish rather than green and rather than a yellowish, the purplish tinge tends to indicate lack of phosphorus, which is not an easy one to find in a liquid fertilizer. If you're using the weed juice, that's good because we're essentially feeding back to the plant what it's made out of. That's pretty good. But finding a liquid fertilizer with very much phosphorus in it can be challenging. You can try to use something like bone meal and hopefully a really finely powdered bone meal. You might add that to your fermenting liquid, again, to boost the phosphorus levels of your liquid fertilizer. So that's one of them. And there's actually, if you go online and look up fertilizer deficiency or plant leaf indicators of fertilizer or nutrient deficiencies, they'll actually tell you based on, sometimes you'll see, well, the veins of the leaves are nice and dark green, but the in-between parts are light green. Or like with the phosphorus, the leaves themselves will look rather purplish green. And then for potassium, sometimes with potassium can be, you'll actually see, if you have too much, you may see browning of the edges of the leaves, and then pretty much the only way to deal with too much fertilizer is to wash, to water, water extra, like Mother Nature might, pour some extra water. Maybe that's in a pot where it's more easy to leach, and of course you get the stuff that's coming out of it, and maybe drain it away would be good. So you've got to be careful. Again, that's why we're talking about the dilution. Dilute it more, and then you can just wait a while and then feed another batch, and a few weeks later maybe another batch, rather than trying to give your plant one big dose all at one time, and then you may overdo it.
Gotcha. Nice. Okay, nutrient deficiency. I definitely have a zucchini plant that fits that description pretty well there. One right next to it is looking great in a different container. Then we've got one that, yeah, sure enough, the kind of the webbing between the veins on the leaves definitely starting to yellow.
Oh, yeah. Zucchinis are really, they're perfect subjects for this because I've had the same exact same thing where, side by side, so obviously one has more than the other. This one is quite yellow compared to the other one. So that's one indicator. Again, we talked earlier about the rhododendrons. When the rhododendrons look rather yellowish in the springtime, they're giving them some Epsom salt to give them some magnesium and a little bit of sulfur too, which helps to maintain the acidity, but the additional magnesium helps them take up other nutrients also and to then make, well, help turn their leaves more green in the process.
Nice.
Then there's timing, you know, okay, when, so we're looking at our plants and yeah, it's been a month, 2 months since we planted them. They may need a supplemental fertilizer or do some color changes on the leaves. But also, and with lawns, again, usually you start out with a higher phosphorus fertilizer, and then once you're mowing and mowing and mowing, then you go to a higher nitrogen fertilizer, higher first number, during the summer. And then at the end of the summer, in fall, usually, again, a low nitrogen with more phosphorus and potassium, more to feed the roots, not the leaves, to cause additional growth late in the season. And that applies also equally to fertilizing trees and shrubs, where we kind of want to stop fertilizing them, whether it be with the liquid stuff or with other granular things too, unless it's very slow release in the organics. We generally stop fertilizing those trees and shrubs around by the 1st of July, so that we don't stimulate late, soft, green growth, which then, depending on what kind of a fall and winter we have, then gets frosted or frozen and then damaged, that it didn't go dormant, the woody parts didn't go dormant, they're still green. And again, your leaves, I mean, leaves on the trees, you may see, oh, they're still really green, and here it's November 15th, and snow is forecast, and the worst thing about that is then those green leaves will hold the snow, and then the snow breaks the branches. Wow. So, I mean, at that point, there's not much you can do about it other than knock the snow off, because you can't get rid of the fertilizer that you put in there. You may actually, and I have done this deliberately, is, and really on my apple trees, I've noticed it, to strip off the leaves, you know, just pull them off by hand as much as I can, if they're not too big a tree, so that we don't have that snow damage, which may result.
Wow. Yeah, that is an interesting bit of cause and effect there, where if your fertilizer late in the summer is too nitrogen-rich, did he say, then you can
right.
prevent your trees and shrubs from going dormant in the way that they need to endure the winter in the healthiest possible way.
Right. And then you see the effects the following spring. Mm-hmm. If some of that green growth got frosted, that you'll have dead tips on the branches.
Oh.
So that, you know, you'll have lower down, you'll have buds greening up as they should, but you may have dead tips on some they kind of curl a little bit at the ends usually when they get frosted also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a balancing act, you know, how do we predict how much rain we're going to get or going to get? You know, even the weather wizards have a tough time with that one.
Sure.
And even if you go to the farmer's almanacs and other stuff or other things, it's just this is a challenging place to garden in the best of times.
Hmm.
You know, trying to predict, oh, okay, I got my corn in this week, and now let's hope we get sunshine to keep it growing and warm.
Right. Say, I just got an emailed question in for us.
Okay.
This comes from a listener right now. Their question is this. My morning glory seeds came up with yellow foliage. Is that normal? And if not, how should I treat these?
I have no personal experience with morning glories, but that can be, again, a possible indication of nutrient deficiency. Usually when our little seeds sprout, depends on the size of the seeds too, they've got a limited amount of food in the seeds to get them started, and then we had better give them something else. And whether we've got some compost or Miracle-Gro or weed juice, whatever it is, if the plants are still alive, you may want to, and stay in small pots, you may want to give them a small dose, again, the half strength, even a one-quarter strength dose of fertilizer, and see what happens with them. And in a pinch, you can even just do it to half of the plants, so that if you overdid it with your fertilizer, you're only killing off half of them at a time. That gives you a chance to do something different with the other half. And if you're successful, then you can give the other ones. Usually the change is, you know, just a couple of weeks at most, especially with the really young plants. You don't have much leaf. So it'll fairly quickly change for the better or the worse. And maybe you can change that if you can, if there's a good change, then you can give some to the other ones that you didn't overdo it or didn't treat the first time around.
Gotcha. But for the most part, you do want to take some kind of action there. If you're seeing yellowing leaves right off the bat, a wait-and-see approach overall is probably going to be a little perilous.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, if we're starting, you know, for me, when I'm starting, whether it be starting primroses indoors after they've been outside, or beans, or broccoli, whatever it happens to be, after you get past those first, you know, essentially the first cotyledons and maybe the first couple of leaves, then they need to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Count on that, because they're using up something like a bean. Takes a little while to use it up, but again, once, you know, with the bean, you've got the indicator. You can see the bean, the two halves of the bean seed come up with the little plant.
Mm-hmm.
And a week or two, you know, maybe 2 weeks later, you see the first real leaves. It's time to fertilize.
Right.
Again, that is important to give them some, because otherwise they're struggling and they may, well, essentially become dwarfed if there's no fertilizer in the potting soil, because most of us will start seeds in unfertilized potting soil. Usually there isn't much of anything in there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So once they've used up kind of like a little chick hatching, it's got like a day or two where it can feed itself from the egg. And then it needs food.
Yep, exactly. Yep, food and water, of course, too.
Yep.
So again, that you know, the basic, it's a real simple mantra: if they dry, they die. And so once they are sprouted, you got tender roots and tender little plants. Got to give them some food and water together. And that really applies to out there, out in the open. That if you're using a dry fertilizer, you want to be watering it immediately afterwards. Whether that's on your lawn, whether it's in the garden, whether it's in a pot, a container, you know, if you're sprinkling some fertilizer on top, you want to water it in to be useful. And you also, to just in case, you sprinkle some granules or dust, whatever kind of fertilizer it is, on the leaves. That can burn little holes in the leaves and stuff too. So watering it then washes it into the soil down toward the roots where it's needed.
Gotcha. Right. So with fertilizing, you do want to be careful not to kind of give some of these delicate leaves little like chemical burns type thing.
And that's where most, at least for the first fertilizing or two, maybe three, depending on the size. Some primroses, it's, you know, they're tiny even at, you know, 2 months old. Maybe they're only an inch tall if I'm lucky. But using some liquid fertilizer in the watering water that you put in the bottom of the tray, you know, out of pot, or in a tray full, I usually use about a half gallon, roughly. And then it wicks up into the pots, and then the roots can grow into that to use it, rather than pouring it on the surface, where you may damage the little plants just in the pouring the water on top. And if we can keep, again, for fungus prevention, if we can keep the leaf surfaces dry, that is worthwhile too. I mean, it's for just normal watering, so we don't get spores of the fungus spores on them. You know, the foliar feeding, that's supposed to be absorbed, and we want to do that, well, on a dry day makes sense, because otherwise the rain will wash it off. But then make sure that the plants themselves are hydrated well, so they can, you know, so they are respiring properly and they can use this stuff that we are giving.
Gotcha. Makes sense. These are great tips for folks to be doing this week and in the next week or so as your plants are growing and they're ready for a little jolt of nourishment there.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, have your weed juice and other stuff brewing and give them a supplemental feeding every so often. Again, once we are, for the plants, I mean, something like tomatoes and cucumbers are a good example because we are harvesting fruit from them, and which takes a lot of nutrients to produce. So again, we giving them some additional nutrients during the summer really will help keep them producing. As we harvest some of those nice fruits from them, we hope.
Mm-hmm. Makes good sense. Maybe one more question here before we head off. I've been hearing some folks struggling with slugs so far this season. How's your garden doing that way?
They've come on slowly so far. I mean, every now and then I'll turn over some plastic, turn over a board, turn over something else. And I am starting to find them a little more regularly around the edges of the boxes. And I got some cabbages planted last week. I lift up the remade to check on them, and I did notice there's some chewing there. So what I'm going to be doing is, again, taking some of my spare pots and putting a little bit of sluggo on the soil underneath the pots. I'll put the pots over the top of them. And then put the remay back over so that hopefully the slugs will go for the sluggo and rather than for my little cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower plants. So just keep at it, and whether you want to get out and do some patrolling, or weather is interesting up and down. So on a moist evening, even on not such a moist evening, get out with your ammonia and water spray and then melt the herd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just kind of be active about it. Either set some traps or go do some patrols.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, and that's, of course, as the days, it's always good too. That way, while you're looking for slugs, you're also looking at the health of the plants and to decide which ones might need a little extra and all of that. So that'll work.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good advice, and maybe we'll leave it there. We'll let you dive back into your own garden there, and I'm sure folks are glad for the guidance out here today, and we'll talk to you again next week, Ed. How about that?
Yep, thank you, Corin.
Okay, till then.
Yep, bye.
All right. Another very useful installment of In the Garden here with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, giving us great advice, really, about best ways to, you know, give our growing gardens a nice little jolt of nourishment. A couple of different tips on fertilizing and, side dressing, doing a little bit of slug patrolling. So if you ever do want to go back in and listen to these shows, if you're just catching a couple the last moments of it here, or whatever the case may be, we do keep an archive of these In the Garden shows up on KFSK's website. You can just dig around in programs and find In the Garden and enjoy. Enjoy the archives there, because it really is a wealth of gardening expertise delivered to us by the one and only Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, which we appreciate very much. And speaking of appreciation, we appreciate the support that comes from all of our underwriters here on KFSK. And In the Garden is particularly underwritten by The Flower Farm, located out at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Open every day but Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., with veggie and herb starts, hanging bags and baskets, bedding plants, trees, shrubs, and more. And they offer delivery, as well as welcoming shoppers out at the farm. That's The Flower Farm, 772-3464. Coming up next, we've got high country music playlist put together for you by Chris Ford.
What this country needs, it's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What
would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy.